Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:26 British Summer Time. Today is May 28th. Well, following the May bank holiday and the Memorial Day holiday in the US yesterday, and majority of markets yesterday were reasonably quiet, but they were all pretty much in positive territory in here today. And in Asia, the despite really quite... really be described in institutional circles as ambivalence towards the Chinese market, it has found support in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it is improving from that level, and the banking sector is doing quite well. So that also has been feeding through into Hong Kong, and the Hang Seng was up today by about 1%. And it is worth pointing out that while a number of other markets have really been making the running in terms of headlines, the Chinese market is cheap, and it is cheap on a relative basis and on an absolute basis, and in historical terms the valuations are really attractive. So yes, there are a number of challenges for the Chinese administration, and of course valuations wouldn't have gone back to these levels unless there were some challenges, and it is now down to the administration of Xi Jinping to come through with reform. And it is looking increasingly likely that he is going to be able to do that. And it is important to point out that if you look at the Communist Party generally, it isn't a cohesive group. And really what you have is a very conservative element and a reform-led element. And Xi Jinping is from that reform element. So the ousting of Bo Xilai last year, who was really very much in the mainstream and perhaps even to the outer edge in terms of extremity of the conservative group, really highlights the triumph of the reform cohort within the Communist Party. So I think there is room for optimism that they are going to come through with the types of reforms that are necessary. And one of the important speeches that were made over the weekend was Xi Jinping talking about that China was no longer willing to sacrifice the environment to fuel economic growth. And Li Keqiang came out today saying that they're targeting a growth rate of approximately 7%. And it does look now increasingly like China is going to tolerate probably what can still be considered world-beating growth, but slower growth, because they're going to focus less on infrastructure development and focus more on human development and cleaning up the environment, not least the terrible air problems that they have in northeast China. So there are investment themes in that regard, and not least in steel and potentially even coal. So those are going to be interesting areas to watch. If China does start to come through on rationalizing its steel industry, which is incredibly polluting and where it has massive overcapacity, then that could be a potential benefit for global steel companies who really have been dealing with this very strong headwind from Chinese supply globally. When we look at Asia more generally, it was really quite a positive day in ASEAN markets, and the Indonesian market was quite firm, and Thailand is also notable, and Malaysia and the Philippines. And they haven't really had anything close to the kind of pullback we saw last week on some of the European and markets and on Wall Street, and they are really quite steady. But some of that performance is being supported by their somewhat weaker currencies, and the US dollar has been really quite firm, and not least against the Indonesian rupiah. So even though the Indonesian stock market has got one of the more consistent trends, its currency has been deteriorating, and not by massive percentages, but it has been drifting lower over the last year. And Japan, having pulled back very sharply last week, was stronger today by 1.2%. And the yen was weaker in here today. And even though we had that very large pullback on the Nikkei last week, and that really gave people pause, the yen remains within a reasonably consistent downtrend. And as long as the yen is trending lower, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the stock market. And it was really quite overbought. It has pulled back. And provided it holds on to the majority of its gains, and I think that with the yen continuing to trend lower, and we haven't had nearly the move in the yen that we had in the stock market, that the benefit of the doubt is probably going to be that we're going to have a little bit of ranging in the Nikkei, which will allow some of that overbought condition to be unwound, at least in the short term. In Europe today, the DAX and the FTSE bounced back, and the Italian index was up by 2%, and the Irish market pushed on to new recovery highs, and it was a generally firm tone right across the European region. And on Wall Street today, the S&P was up by just less than 0.2%, and that was a little bit off its highs. And the Dow Jones was up a little bit more than that. It was up almost 0.7%, and the Nasdaq bounced back in here today. And when we look at the S&P, yes, it is about 10% overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. So in a reversionary type environment, a pullback of approximately 10% wouldn't be at all surprising. But that isn't going to happen until it pulls back by at least 60 points. And it's had a reaction of between 40 and 60 points on four separate occasions since November. And that represents a really quite a consistent trend, and it's a staircase uptrend where each one of these reactions is one above another. And until we see a reaction of greater than 60 points, then despite the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, this remains a reasonably consistent uptrend and should be given the benefit of the doubt, at least in the short term. At some point, we're going to see that central banks begin to reduce the amount of additional liquidity they're adding into the market. And today's really quite positive consumer confidence figures in the US are really quite good news. And the fact that the housing market continues to improve is really quite good news. So, yes, there are certain things that the Fed is looking at in terms of the unemployment rate and in terms of the way they measure inflation, which is the PCE deflator, and I think the clue is in the name. But one thing is that there's an incredible amount of complacency. And I was on a radio interview yesterday, on Sunday, and the amount of complacency among some of the other panelists about the practically limitless potential for additional upside in the very short term without considering the possibility that we are due a pullback and consolidation at some point gave me some pause for thought. Not least when today you see that US Treasuries were weaker on the 30-year by almost 3 full points. And the 10-year was weaker by a full point, and it surged higher to a new high for the yield, surged higher for at least a new one-year high. And the yield has the characteristics of a base that could be in the process of being completed. Now, if that is the case, and that the market is now the bond market, is beginning to price in the possibility that the Fed is no longer going to be supporting it, then that is really quite an interesting turn of events. The stock market hasn't really given that a great deal of consideration. But if we start to see sharply higher government bond yields, it is going to have an impact in other asset classes. And at the moment, this is going to be rather interesting also in terms of the total return index. And that hadn't updated when I looked at it just before I started recording. But the Merrill Lynch 10-year Treasury total return index is perhaps the most consistent trend anyone is ever likely to see. And it's been trending consistently higher since 1983. And it's lost momentum over the last year. In fact, it's basically been going sideways for a year. But it continues to hold above its 200-day moving average. And if we start to see government bond prices deteriorating at this rate, and 10-year yields pushing up like this, then the potential for that index to break below its 200-day moving average for the first time in quite a while will have increased substantially. But if we start to see it breaking below its 200-day moving average, and more importantly, encountering resistance at the MA on a subsequent rally, then we'll have confirmation that what has been perhaps one of the greatest bull markets in history is over. And that is likely to result in quite significant outflows. And the most reliable bull market, the bull market that every time it pulled back, if you bought treasuries, you made money, will be over. And the record low yields that people have had to put up with, and the additional risks that fixed income investors have had to take, will start to come back into sharper focus, where people will really have to start to think about where exactly their risk is and starting to address their fixed income positions based on the risk of their creditors. So that is a very large potential outcome. So when we look at stock markets, we can say that they've had a good rally and that they have had a little bit of a pullback last week and that they have found support. And last week's lows represent a touchstone now in terms of these short-term uptrends. But what's happening in the bond markets is a potential worry. And that is really where the action is. And that is where we're going to see some quite large moves. And of course, the better the news gets in terms of the economy, the greater the likelihood is that central banks will be prompted into reducing the amount of money that they are introducing into the system. And when you think about how leveraged a large number of strategies have become, then they are totally reliant on not just liquidity staying where it is, but access to cheap liquidity continuing to improve. And if that starts to be curtailed in any way, then that is going to result in them liquidating parts, or at least some of their positions. So we are residing in a relatively risky environment, and what's happening in the bond markets, it cannot simply be ignored. And that brings us into the gold market. And gold has been ranging mostly within about a $50 range and above the April low for the last 10 days. And it was a little bit weaker in here today, and silver was down about 24 cents. Palladium, though, was up by $31. And platinum was also stronger today by about $10. And it is in platinum and palladium that you have the supply inelasticity, and it is where the more bullish chart patterns are evident, but also where you have the more bullish fundamentals. And oil was also a little bit firmer in here today, although off its highs. So we see an environment where the US dollar has been strengthening, and US equities have been among the strongest in the world on a currency adjusted basis. And just to put that into perspective, we've had this enormous rally in the Nikkei. But on a currency-adjusted basis, the Nikkei is up 16.75% in U.S. dollar terms, and the Dow Jones is up 17.5% in currency-adjusted terms this year. So the U.S. dollar's strength has certainly helped to bolster returns from that market. And if the economy there is improving, and the Fed does look like it is going to be the first central bank to begin to remove its quantitative easing, then that is dollar positive. And that should also help to encourage investors to look at the US, and not least its higher yielding types of companies. Because if yields do start to rise, then it is companies that have a record for growing their dividends at a rate that's higher than inflation that will really start to become attractive. And because so many of these companies have been buying back their own shares, and because so many of these companies are truly global in their outlook, then we can look at them as collector's items. Because with dividend aristocrat type companies that have records of increasing dividends for more than 25 years, then you're presented with companies that have bond-like returns and also the potential for quite significant capital appreciation over the long term. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.